I'd like us just to take those books again, those blue books, and on the very first page, there are some verses from the book of Colossians, and those were the verses that were given to us as a staff at the very first staff meeting in New York City, I guess back in April. And I'd like us just to read them together. All together. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now the verses that I've listed below that, they are kind of speak to the different phrases of these verses from Colossians. And tonight, since Mom talked a little bit about this new life that we have in Christ and about her experience, I thought it would be good if we just considered the first verse. And it goes along with that first phrase, if then you have been raised with Christ. That if then presupposes something. It says the things that I'm going to say afterwards, they only are true or they only really matter to you if then, if you've done something. And it's if you've been raised with Christ, then you should seek the things which are above. Then you can set your affections. You see, we all have to have a beginning. There has to be a foundation upon which Christ can build, upon which this work of God can be done in your life. There has to be a foundation. I've done a little bit of engineering in my life. It's my job. And you know, these tall structures that we build, the massive bridges that span over the waterways, sometimes almost half the cost of the bridge can be unseen in the foundations. Without a foundation, a building, a structure will quickly sink into the earth and be no more. And in the Christian life, unless we've laid a good foundation, there's really nothing to build upon. It has to begin somewhere. There has to be a work of God done at the outset. And Mom talked about us beginning our journey. When did we start our pilgrimage? And then she mentioned something that took place in her life. You know, I was thinking today, it's interesting because some of the, I thought it would be good to hear how you began when you got saved. And Mom got ahead of me, so that's good. But I thought each of us has a personal history with God. Now, you can't tell me about your, you can tell me about your family history. I was talking to someone this week and I was telling them how, you know, my father's a minister and his father before him was a minister and his father before him. That's my family history. And I thank God for it. But that's not necessarily my personal history. You can't tell me, well, my family's a Christian family, we go to church. Well, what about you? And Mom touched on that. When were you saved? Where were you saved? Can you go back? Can you look back in your life and point to a time when you know that you knelt at the cross and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, when you repented? And that's so important. Why? Because we have an enemy. And he'll say, well, you're not really saved. You know, that you just, that was emotions. You know, you went to the altar 10 times. You know. Well, I got saved, I think, maybe 3 or 4 times. But I can look back and I can recall those times. And as I was sitting here tonight, I was thinking about different times in my life, even here in this place. The other day I walked into that room and it seemed I remembered a time when the Lord met me right in that corner over there. Maybe you can think of times, special times. I can remember back in the village when I was 10 years old. I don't remember everything, but there are certain times I can look back and I say, God touched me then, and I know it. It was real. And that's my personal history with God. And we all have a right, as it were, to that personal encounter with Jesus. You don't have to trust in someone else's experience. You don't have to trust in your parents' experience with God, because maybe your parents aren't Christians. You can have your own personal encounter with God, and you need to begin a personal. I'm not one to diary, you know. They say it's good, though. Does anyone like to write in diaries? I mean, it's a good thing if you do. I just don't. That's not me. But there are certain things I write down because I feel that they're important. The transactions I've made with God, when He's come to me, when He's spoken to me, when He's spoken right into my life when I needed it the most. You know, it's interesting. I'm not one to go to a lot of different churches. Growing up, I'm a pastor's son, so where do you go to church? You go to church, and that was great for me as far as I'm concerned. So I didn't get to go to a lot of different churches, but you know, thinking about that today, I thought the Lord's met me in so many different places, though. Not only here at camp, not only in my own church. Yes, God met me in very signal ways in my own, but in other churches where I would visit. You know, see, God just followed me to all those different places. Well, maybe He was there already waiting for me to come. However it was, He met me there. And sometimes it was people who didn't even know anything about me. Totally outside of our felt. Didn't know anything about me. And God would use them to minister to me. And so that personal history with God was built upon. And God worked in my life and spoke to me and confirmed things in my own heart. Now why am I saying this? Is because I'm encouraging each one of you. Don't take it for what I say. Take it and experience it for yourself. Put God to the test. The Bible says, prove me. Prove me. The Lord says, if you seek, you'll find. If you search for me with all your heart. So I'm encouraging you tonight. It's wonderful. Encourage. I always love my mom's testimonies. I've heard them over and over again, but I'm still blessed. Now I got a little off track. One of the things I've written down in my Bible was the day I was baptized. And in our church, we sing a song when we're baptized. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. See, that's repentance. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I think I was just about that same age, 12 years old, when I was baptized. I remember my Sunday school teacher talking to me. And that's one thing I think I have, you know, the greatest parents in the world. They didn't force me. They didn't say, how come, Philip, you're not baptized? My Sunday school teacher said it to me. And I don't think they told him to talk to me either. How come you're not baptized, Philip? Well, I'm not perfect. That was a bad excuse, right? I'm not perfect. Who's perfect? Are you perfect yet? No. No. He explained to me. He said, you don't have to be perfect. He got around my little, you know, argument. You have to have a desire to follow. You know that the Lord saved you. You have a desire to live for Him. Well, take that step of water baptism. And so I did. Now, why am I saying all that? Because Romans 6... 4. We're going to fill in that little blank tonight. Romans 6, 4. Maybe you know already what this chapter speaks about. Remember now, we're relating to that first phrase, if then you have been raised with Christ. And what does that mean? If then you have been raised with Christ. Does that mean that we've been taken up to heaven? It talks about our earthly experience while we're still in this life. If then you have been raised with Christ. What do you think it means? I'm asking a question. Someone said you died. All right? Well, that's part of it. That's half of it. All right? Because if you die, what happens? You hope that you will be
raised.
You'll be raised. And Mom talked about how when you're baptized, what takes place? The minister puts you in the water, and that symbolizes the burying, the dying, the old man is put under, right? He's buried. And what's raised?
The new man.
There's a new life in Christ. We walk, it says, in newness of life. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying, if you then have been raised with Christ, if you know that you have died, as it were, to that old nature, if you've come to the cross, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, repented of your sins, that old man is buried and the new man is raised. Let's read it in Romans, how Paul says it there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, God's grace is amazing, right? Boys are learning that. And so that means that I can kind of just do what I want, and then when I come to Him, if He gives me, right? Is that what grace is all about? What do you think, Albert? You're not too sure about that statement, right? Didn't sound right. No, that's not what grace is about. People have that idea, well, I can just kind of live the way I want, and God will forgive me. Paul's answer to that is, God forbid. God forbid, by no means. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you see it? Do you see the illustration he's using? And so when Paul says, if then you've been raised with Christ, he's saying, if you've experienced this, if you've truly come to the cross, if you've truly experienced the new birth, if you've truly been raised with Christ, well then, seek those things which are above. You see, this is the beginning. I can't tell you if you haven't experienced the new birth, I can't tell you to be joyful, really. And I can't tell you to seek those things above, because that sinful nature still has control of you. The Bible talks about those who are dead in trespasses and sins. How is it that this new life is created? How is it? Well, that deadness of my spirit is touched by the Holy Spirit, the power of God. As I believe, as I receive the gospel, the message that Christ came to take away my sins, God's Spirit touches that dead spirit of mine and causes it to be alive. That's the new birth. Now I can once again have a relationship with God. And unless that's taken place, there's nothing really to build upon. That's the foundation. That's the beginning. And so tonight I just like to ask, I don't want to take anything for granted. You look to be all wonderful people. But God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. And He knows where you are with Him tonight. Have you experienced the new birth? Have you been buried with Christ and raised with Him too? Have you experienced that? Can you look back in your personal history with God and say, it was at that time that Jesus gave me new life, that Jesus touched my heart, cleansed my sin as I repented and in faith believed that He died for me? Can we all do that? And if you really can't, and you don't have the assurance that you belong to Him, that He's forgiven your sins, then we ought to do that tonight. We ought to come to Him in faith tonight and say, Lord, I believe that You died for me. And I want to begin my personal history with You tonight. Maybe you've come to church, maybe you've been in church all your life. Maybe you know all the Bible stories. Someone has said that the distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches. Distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches. And what they meant by that was that's the distance between my head and my heart. And I can know, I can have a head knowledge. But unless that reaches my heart, unless God's Spirit is able to change this heart of mine and give me a new heart, I'm going to miss out on heaven. And so let's just all look to the Lord tonight. There's countless other stories of young people who never got to see 40 years old or 50 years old. As Mom said, we don't say that to scare people into the kingdom. But we have no guarantee for tomorrow. If we believe God's word, we should believe that Jesus could come tonight, this moment. And so are we ready to stand before Him? Is your heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood. Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Is your heart right tonight? Is my heart right? And so, Lord, in light of Your word, cause the Holy Spirit to just penetrate our hearts tonight, Lord. You search us. You know us all together. You know our thoughts afar off. Lord, You look down tonight into each life. Lord, we want to take this seriously, Lord. Lord, we know that You have great desire over each life, each one of us. You would not have brought us to this place unless You desired to meet us. And so, God, I just pray that there would be a real work of Your Spirit, a real work of Your blood to cleanse us, to make us holy, to make us right with you, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here tonight who's never really come, knelt at the cross, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd give grace, that you, by your Spirit, would draw them, and that they would experience the new birth, that they would know that they belong to you, that there would be that assurance that you have accepted them. Lord, we need your convicting work among us. We need there to be real repentance. And so we're asking you tonight, Lord, to come to us. Show us, Lord. Show us our hearts. Don't let us fool ourselves. Lord, you lay the foundation in each life tonight. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no other one, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That you gave yourself for us, took our place, our punishment, so that we could be free from sin, so that we could live lives that are holy, holiness unto the Lord.